But I want to talk about the bigger picture, and we'll touch real quickly on those last three. Genesis 1, 27, the very beginning of man. This was the commandment of God to us, to our grandpappies and our meemaws. So God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. Here we go. Then God blessed them, said, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground." The first thing, Adam was made from dust. He wakes up with God's face blowing His air, blowing His life into his lungs, and he became a man. I've got up there, right underneath the title, The Path. You can't go wrong if you make this your life goal. I'm going to walk with a person, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, the Father, and I'm going to partner with Him, and I'm going to persevere. If I had to sum up my Christian life, I would say this is something that's on endless repeat. Walking with a person first, and then when you walk with a person, you partner with him, and then you just persevere. Why? Because we are taking dominion over the fish, especially you fishermen, taking dominion over the deer if you're a hunter. I'm being sort of sarcastic. But He wants us to change this world, and He has never changed His mind. Very few Christians understand that this commandment to be fruitful and multiply has never been rescinded. And that is what Jesus Christ is doing right now. He's not sitting back in a recliner drinking virgin margaritas, just watching us do whatever and saying, "I can't wait till they come up here to heaven." He is the second Adam. The first Adam was this. He walked the earth. He lived it sinlessly. He lived perfectly. And He is fulfilling this verse. And He's asking us as an invitation to do it with Him. Do you realize that the first two chapters of Genesis and the last two chapters of Revelation are a mirror? Let me read to you Revelation 21. I'm not going to read to you all chapters. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the new earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone." I'm not going to give you an understanding of Revelation, but I am going to talk a lot about the end times. I do not want Jesus Christ to come back right now. That is a personal assignment, personally. Whether you believe in the rapture, the second coming, I do not want Him to come back. I want Him, this is me personally, because I'm trying to tie this in with partner, as I want Him to delay as much as possible. Because you realize once we go to heaven, there is no more partnering with Him. What are you going to do? Build heaven? Yes, we're going to be in His presence, and that's awesome. But this is the only place where we get to fulfill the original commandment that He gave. If He comes back, your building with Him is done. Until He comes back with all of us at the second coming. And then you know what He's going to do? We just read it. He's going to restore the earth. He is a man like we are, but He's also 100% God. He, with us partnering, is going to fulfill the earth to be an Eden all over the place, all over the earth. I hope I never die, because I get to build and partner with Him more and say, "Listen, a little bit of that world around me, my family, business, whatever, looks more like what You wanted it to be in the Garden of Eden, and I give it back to You. What's next?" When you die, that's gone. You get to watch other people build from heaven. There is no greater assignment than, and no greater thrill in life, but to partner with Him to build. And I see too many Christians, they're just trying to get out of this world to go to heaven. Do you realize that is very narcissistic? It is about me instead of what does Jesus want? Jesus came from heaven as God into this cesspool of earth to redeem it. And then as we get saved, yes, when our bodies die, we go to heaven. But that we don't stay in heaven. That is a temporary holding place. We will all be back here on this earth reclaiming it for Him. There's nothing more exciting than that. I love what He did at when Jesus, there's very few instances of what His life was like as a child. But in Luke 2:49, He was 12 years old. He got separated from His parents. His parents found Him in the temple. And He said to them, "How is it that you had to look for Me? Did you not see and know that it is necessary for Me to be in My Father's house and occupied about My Father's business?" At 12 years old, He understood, I am not here to live for Myself. I am here to reclaim the earth and to do My Father's business. And every one of you in here, I get about going to heaven. And maybe some of what I said was extreme, but I'd prefer not to die. And it's not because I'm afraid of death. I have not been afraid of death since 13 years old, and I had an encounter with Jesus Christ. I'm not going to go into all of that, but I've never been afraid of death. And then 6 years ago, when I did die for a short few seconds, I proved it out. I wasn't afraid of death. But Christians that are just living for the rapture are wasting an opportunity to partner with Jesus to restore the earth according to the original mandate. Because it has never gone away. And it's fun partnering with Him. We've seen some of these things. He helps us solve problems, number five. He gives us favor. We are not limited by earth, but by heaven. Is it hard? Yes. That's why we have to persevere. Why? Because the devil wants this land, because God wants this land. And he doesn't want God to get it. He doesn't want God's kingdom to get it because he hates Him. Because he got kicked out of heaven. And whenever we don't give up praying for a loved one, whenever we stick it out in whatever assignments we have, it is sticking the eye in the name of the devil and saying, you will not win, but me and my partner Jesus will win, and He will win in the end. And there's something about Christians, we're trying to push everything off into the sovereignty of God, that whenever He comes back, He's going to come back and just take care of the whole world. No. He says He is a King of kings and Lord of lords and priest of priests. He is going to do it with us. And today, we're on assignment to learn how to be that king, how to be that priest, how to be that Lord. Now, when He comes back, get this. I'm telling you, get this. You're going to have a nice body. But you're going to be doing the exact same thing we're doing now. We'll be able to hear Him clearer, I believe. We'll be able to see Him clearer. But He is restoring this earth. And today we get to be about the Father's business. So partnering is not just an assignment till we die. I hope I never die. I really don't. Because I think heaven, at least my understanding of it, it's going to be fun, but it's going to be sort of boring because I'm going to take ground. What ground are you going to take in heaven? I want to get territory for Him. I want to get rewards for Him. I want to get heads for Him. I want to die with blood on my sword. I'm talking metaphorically. We don't fight against flesh and blood. Most Christians don't even know what their sword is. It stays in their sheath the whole time. No, I want trophies, not for me, but for Him. It might be my neighbor. It might be some relative. I don't know who it'll be. It might be a company that employs a lot of people. It may be a new invention that makes people's lives better and does it around. That is God, because that is what Jesus is doing now. And so we get to know Him as a person. Because why? We got to hear His voice. If He's the senior partner and we're the junior partner, we got to know what the senior partner's saying. And then we go, what is your assignment? Some of our assignments are national, international, local, across the street, in our family. But it's all to restore the earth, and it's His business. I'm telling you right now, Jesus is at rest, but He's busy. He's busily doing what He's doing with the rest of the Holy Spirit. And He's inviting each of us. Matthew 6:10, it's on the wall out here on the left. We just read that. And I'm not talking to you. I'm talking generically. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not in the millennium. Now. And it's fun. It's better than... which one is it? Verse 8 up there. I need to try to touch on this. We can be content, but not endlessly striving. When you're walking with the Holy Spirit, He starts giving you assignments, places to go. You're going to law school. Tiff over here is teaching students. Who knows what student may be that she's teaching math to in that sixth grade may be the next Elon Musk down the road that's building the next great company. But it needed that seed with righteousness on it, with holiness on it. You're working with families all the time. That's what you're doing. You're about the Father's business, Amber, to try to restore families that have been torn apart by the devil, and He's laughing because Christians don't want to get their hands messy and they're thinking about this or that. He is looking for soldiers and warriors to enter the kingdom of God, to expand His business, because He will not be a liar. He told Adam to fulfill Genesis 1:28, and it will be fulfilled with man. Now, obviously, He's going to be the one to finish it off, but we're here. And so the question is, so we learn to be content with what He gives us instead of endlessly striving. This assignment's enough because it's on His heart. He doesn't give you anything that's not on His heart. He is focused. He has purpose. He doesn't give us busy tasks. He is like, I need to reclaim this thing over here, and I want you to do it. And then He gives you a team to work with you. It's a big assignment, it's a big team. But He gives you a team. And the best team is Him. And so, you know, the thing that comes across the mind, what if we fail? You'll fall, but you won't fail. Because He's the senior partner. What if I have loss? You'll have loss. That's why you persevere. But you'll win what is important in the end. And take the risk. I told you I'd talk about the end times a little bit. I'm not going to talk about Revelation because I'm not foolish enough to go there and tell you what the sixth seal means under the fourth trumpet. Because honestly, I don't know. And I've read probably more than the average Christian. I've read a lot. And I still don't know what the sixth trumpet is under the fourth bowl. And I don't really care. I really don't. I mean, I have my opinions. Maybe we'll talk over dinner sometime about it. But I will say this at a high level. I will not have an end times eschatology where the devil beats up on Christians and we've run away from the big bad beast and the Antichrist. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I don't even quite know. I mean, I got some opinions. I don't quite know who the Antichrist is or will or the beast. I don't care. If I'm walking with the senior partner of Jesus Christ, I go where He goes. I say what He says. I do what He does. If I die, well, I guess I'll have to go to heaven and watch you guys have fun down here. I'll be a part of the cloud of witnesses going, put me back in the game, coach. You think I'm kidding, but here's some thoughts here. I will not accept an eschatology or a future that takes away my children's future and undermines leaving a legacy. Because I'm telling you, Jesus Christ lit. Like I said, the first two chapters of Genesis, like the first two chapters of Revelation. Adam and Eve gets married. We have a bride, which is us, and Jesus getting married. How this thing began, He's going to end it. And in the middle, He's teaching us how to do it now. I was in the 70s. I was a teenager. the book by the late great Planet Earth, by Hal Lindsey, came out, wrecked the West. It was a terrible theology. It was wrong in so many ways. But man, did it catch on fire. And the biggest, one of the biggest practical examples that I personally saw all around me that was not good was so many people stopped dreaming. They stopped planning for the future. They dropped out of college. And I'm not just making this stuff up. Got no skills because Jesus Christ could come back tomorrow. And maybe he could come back tomorrow. But that was a practical example that was terrible. I mean, that was 50 years ago and we're still here. Get skills. Get understanding. That's what Proverbs says. Get wisdom to bring his kingdom into the earth. Whatever happens between there and then is fine. And there's just so many, it's narcissistic, I'm just telling you. The primary Western theology of the end times is narcissistic. How can it be easier on me? And not that I don't want it to be easier, but the bigger question is, what is Jesus doing right now? He's about his Father's business 2,000 years later. And he invites us in as a junior partner into that business. That's how, what a better vision than that. I try to stay up with the news, and this just absolutely drives me crazy. Every week, somebody is saying how Revelation's being lived out in Iran because they bombed this or wherever. Every week, it's something different. The same people will say that this week said the bombing of Iran is this trumpet. 3 months from now, this next thing is this trumpet. We got to grow up. We just got to grow up, stop trying to escape, and go, I'm not moving, devil. We say that about healings. We say that about deliverances. Let's say that about the world. I'm not moving. I'm not leaving this earth till my family gets saved. Because if I leave, who's going to keep praying for them? Fill in the blanks. I am not leaving. I am doing business with the Father, and I'm expanding his kingdom because he's working hard. And so, I'm just telling you personally, you can analyze all the events and compare it to Revelation you want to, but literally, I've read so many books, so many articles. They've been doing this for 2,000 years. Every bad man or a woman for 2,000 years has been the Antichrist. Well, guess what? They weren't the Antichrist. They might have been a Antichrist because he says you have a lot of Antichrists around you. There's Antichrist on the earth right now. Yeah, anti just means anti-anointing. And there's people trying to take the place of Jesus all the time. I'm not saying there's not going to be an Antichrist, the Antichrist, but I don't really care because that's not my battle. I am going to partner with Jesus and make a difference on this earth. And then when I'm tired, I'll take a rest and then get back up again and keep going. That kind of attitude scares to death the devil. He'd like for us to sit there and look at all and come up with all these doctrinal positions of how these good stuff's not going to happen until after Jesus Christ comes back. And that's what the Hal Lindsey, late great Planet Earth, Left Behind series said. And believe me, from somebody that believed it for decades, and then I started going, why do I believe this? Because this is what I was taught. And actually what changed my mind is when I started traveling outside the West and found out nobody outside the West believes this nonsense. And they laugh at us. They go, you believe that? And then I started going, where did this start happening? And I'm not going to go all through it, but it's a Western belief. It is not a worldwide belief. They believe something totally different. And I go, what did the early fathers believe? What did the apostolic fathers believe? And you just realize Left Behind is made up. Maybe some of it's true, but the problem is I don't want to go. Do I get tired sometimes? Do I get beat up? Yeah. But I want to go to the Father with something in my hand that when He puts the fire to it, it's not wood, hay, and stubble because I sat around. It's because I partnered with Him. Whenever you partner with Him, He goes, if you go after this, it's gold or silver or precious stones. That's intense, isn't it? But He wants us to be intense in a good way. And that's how we live by faith, number 7, instead of fear. Do you realize the common end time belief is full of fear? That tells you right there, there's something wrong with it. Wow, I could go on, but I think you get the picture. Sort of like worship today was short. This message is short. How many of you, what I want to impart here is not judgment, it's not condemnation. The greatest thing on this earth is not to wait till you get off this earth. It's to say, Jesus, how do I restore this earth? What is my area that I'm to restore? What is my area I'm supposed to carry your qualities into? What is the areas that I'm supposed to carry your character into? Not in a workaholic spirit. But once you get to know Him as a person, you start realizing He has a passion for this earth that many times us humans, of course He's human, I get that, us Christians do not. We want to leave it. He does not want to leave it, and He's not going to leave it. He's going to be the last Adam to redo with the first. He's going to finish with the first Adam never even got close. And He's saying, do you want to do it with me? Is it messy? Yes. Why? Because if you believe in a young earth, it's been at least 6,000 years since the Garden of Eden. If you believe in an old earth, it's been a long time. And it's a mess. But we can start restoring it and redeeming it. And He knows what to do. He has got the pattern for every country on this earth. He has got the pattern for every nation on this earth, for every continent, for every neighborhood, because He's that good and He's God. He goes, I want to see, many years ago, I went to Nepal. That was the dirtiest, nastiest, I know it has the Himalayas, but that was the dirtiest, nastiest place I've ever been on earth. Far worse than Africa was. Spiritually, it was dark, far worse than any other dark places. And I started thinking about it. It's a direct result of Hinduism, which is a very fatalistic, you can't get out of your caste. You're stuck to this. When you die, you may go to a lower caste or you may go up. There's no guarantee. So they did not take care of their country. They had no vision for redemption, no vision for growth. And then you look at Christianity. I'm telling you, He has got a vision for growth. He's got a vision for wholeness, to restore people. And that is unlike any other religion. This is an exercise if you care. I've done this because I've traveled different nations. See what the prominent religion is in that country. And then you can reflect and see what that country looks like. It is an extension of their beliefs. And I want us all here, we're going to partner with you, Jesus, and let it be an extension of your beliefs. Let it be an extension of your value. You know, you're in the medical field. I guess, I don't know where Alexis is tonight. She's in the medical field. I mean, I don't know how you do this. I'm not putting words in your mouth. But I would think before you go to each patient, Father, what does this body look like if it wasn't ravaged by 6,000 years of sin? What does this body, how was it originally supposed to be working in the Garden of Eden? Just today, give me one insight to help start restoring us back to Genesis 1:28. For you, working with such hopeless situations so many times, you got to do number 7 up here. Or 7. You got to, Father, this looks hopeless. They don't have the finances. They don't have a place to live. Just everything's messed up. There's abuse. Give me something little to bring what is in heaven to earth and to touch this, whatever, you know, family or individual. We could do that in everything of life. Approach it that way. And that's what partnership is. And we'll start changing the world, and we are, start changing it. And it's a hopeful future. No matter what you believe about the end times, the rapture, the bowls, the trumpets, the seals. I mean, it's sort of fun to read that. But if it has no hope, you're on the wrong track. If it produces fear, you're on the wrong track. Our eschatology is one of hope and one is faith. And people go, well, I don't want to be persecuted. Well, do you realize last year more Christians were persecuted since the year zero all over this earth? Iran, North Korea, Nigeria was the number one worst one, according to people that study that kind of thing. You've been to Nigeria because they had a civil war with the Islamists. You just go on and on. More people were persecuted last year than the year before. And so, what's my point? Live for Jesus. And whatever happens, happens. I don't personally think there's probably going to be any more persecution than what's already going on. And we just have to play our part. Some of us are going to be international parts, maybe. A lot of, some of you are young. You don't know what you're going to be doing in 30 years. You may think you do, but probably don't. You may be one of those going internationally to solve governmental politics, to try to solve these civil wars like in Nigeria. And Jesus is, this is what happens when you start partnering with Jesus. And I'll stop preaching here. I'm telling you, if you spend time with Him, He doesn't give you assignments like slave master. He could. We are His servants. But He gives you assignments like bride, bridegroom. And He goes, Craig, I've got this on my heart, but I need your help. Will you help me? Man, you don't need any more encouragement than that. You don't need any other driving force but to go, He's wanting to do this, and I get to help Him do it. And then He'll give me the resources. Then you're only limited by heaven. And He'll give you all the favor you need because He wants it done, and we're going to help Him. Like He was as a 12-year-old boy who had a revelation that I want all of us in here. What's your business, Father? And He called Him Father, so He had a personal relationship. Amen.